can take some fruit and pass it around, okay? It would be a shame to waste good fruit. Did you know that Jesus is the vine and you are the branches? And that branches have been created and they are cared for by the vine dresser so that they can bear fruit that abides, that remains, that continues. The one who abides in me and I abide in them, Jesus says, bears much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Cut off, you can do nothing. John chapter 15, the allegory of the vine and the branches, is all about making the cut. You've probably been there, done that, right? You tried out for a team. Maybe it was a drama team, a part in the play. Maybe it was a speech team. Maybe it was a basketball or football team. And not everybody makes the cut. You got to be good. You got to be fast. You got to be talented. You got to be gifted. And sometimes you're not good enough. And so if the cut is based upon your qualifications and your abilities, you might be sunk. But you know what happens? Sometimes it's not how gifted you are, it's who you know. If you happen to have the right connection, no matter how hard I practiced and worked at basketball in high school, I'd always be number 6, 7, or 8 on the team because I wasn't in with the coach. But there were a couple other players, they had the name. They got to play all the time. You see, connections matter, for good or for bad. It's by God's grace that you and I make the cut. God cuts us off from sin and death and drowns us in the sacrament of holy baptism so that God can regraft us to Jesus, the true vine, so that we can abide and bear fruit that remains for the glory of God. Chief of sinners though I be, Jesus bled and died for me, died that I might live on high, lives that I might never die. As the vine is to the branch, I am his and he is mine. John chapter 13, the foot washing. John chapter 17, the high priestly prayer. And in between, the farewell discourse, of which our gospel for this Saturday and next Saturday is John chapter 15. Twice Jesus says, I am, ego eimi. I am the true vine, my Father is the vine dresser. The second time he says, I'm the vine and you are the branches. Did you see what he's doing with the two I ams? He has a relationship with the Father. He says, the Father and I are one. He has a relationship with us. How do we get connected to the Father? In the name of the Son, through the Holy Spirit that gives us faith. That's the connection that matters. Read a story this past week. Successful, prominent businessman, entrepreneur. A reporter was interviewing him and saying, what's the secret to your success, to your wealth, to your prosperity? The gentleman said, well, it's a rather interesting story. You see, when my wife and I got married, we barely had a roof over our head. We had a little bit of food in the pantry. And we have 5 cents between the two of us. 5 cents? Wow, the reporter said. So what did you do with the 5 cents? He said, well, this is part of the story. I went to the grocery store. I bought an apple for 5 cents. I took it home. I washed it up. I shined it pretty. And then I sold it for 10 cents. Oh. And then what did you do? He said, well, I took the 10 cents and I went out and I bought 2 apples and I washed them up and I shined them and I sold them for 20 cents. The reporter said, I got to take notes on this. This is a story that's going to inspire people. Then what did you do? He said, well, then my father-in-law died, and he left us $20 million. You see, sometimes it's who you know. It's the connection. It doesn't matter how ingenious you are. It doesn't mean that just because God has gifted you with all kinds of wit and intelligence that you're going to make lots of money and have lots of stuff. The right connection. Whoever abides in me and I in them bears much fruit. Apart from me, cut off from me, you can do nothing. We used to call that squat. Nothing. Who we know can make a difference. My first job, well, I did farming stuff too. That was a job. But in a grocery store. One of the reasons I got the grocery store job is because Al Schultz was the manager of Kruger Super Value, and I knew Al. So he put in a good word for me and helped me get my first, if you will, regular job with a paycheck and stuff. My daughter Jenna went out to PLU, Pacific Lutheran University in Tacoma, Washington. And I think it was when she was meeting with the president and the president's wife. You know, usually incoming freshmen get a chance to do that. And then freshmen are wearing name tags. And it says Jenna Stephenson on it. And the president's wife, Marianne Anderson, she says, Jenna Stephenson, your dad wouldn't be David Stephenson, would he? And Jenna said, yeah, that's my dad. We went to college together at Concordia College. We rode home together on break in a vehicle to Wisconsin together. If you need anything while you're here, you just see me. You see, having the right connection can open up doors. It can. And Jesus is the gate or the door that leads to eternal life. And he is the vine, and we are the branches, and he's the connection that makes us children of the Heavenly Father. I grew up on a farm, and we had trees, apple trees, plum trees. And my dad would do everything he could to take care of them, you know, to cut off some branches, to trim them, to prune them, have to spray them sometimes because of some of those nasty bugs. But I learned a lot about John 15 by watching what happened to those apples and plum trees. One winter, in spite of all my dad's best efforts, there was a lot of snow. Snow was way up. And when we went out there, my dad says, oh my goodness, those rabbits, they were hungry. The fresh bark, you know, of the branches, they were killing the trees. Those fruit trees, they were destroying them. So we had to dig a great big trench around there and to protect them, to put a hedge around them. And then we had a bad storm, and it just, I mean, big branches just sliced right off. And I realized those branches, they don't get to choose if they're going to be connected. They don't get to choose if they're going to bear fruit. They just do if they got a vine dresser, if they got a farmer that knows how to take care of them, to protect them, to give them the fertilizer that they need. And then they do what they were made to do. They bear fruit. And we ate that fruit. And we shared that fruit, the fruit of the vine that becomes the wine of our Lord's Supper. Connections matter. Jesus is the true vine, and you have made the cut. God has cut you off from sin and has joined you to his Son, Jesus Christ, the true vine. Not a vine, but the true vine. In other words, there's imposters and there's fakes. And there's a whole bunch of other ways or hirelings, but they're not the good shepherd. They're not the way, truth, and life. They're not the light of the world. They're not the true vine. You heard that last week in the book of Acts, chapter 4, verse 12. There's salvation in no other name than the name of Jesus. So we're not going to get very far by pushing that name down somebody's throat. But we were created to let our light shine, to bear fruit that remains and blesses. And apart from me, Jesus said, you can't do nothing. Anglican missionary to Africa in a remote area had a small generator. The generator was big enough to provide current into the rectory, the place where he lived, and into the small church. And some of the tribesmen came for a visit, and they were intrigued. They were intrigued that there was a bulb, a light. And the bulb was hanging from the ceiling down. And so one of the tribesmen said to the missionary, could I have one of those bulbs to take home with me? And the missionary thought, well, he just wants a trinket. About a month later, the missionary was in the hut of these tribesmen, and in one of the huts, he sees there's a string suspended from the roof of the hut with the light bulb on it. And the tribesmen couldn't figure out why he didn't have no light. And he had to explain to them, you can yell at that light until it's, well, dead meat or blue in the face, huh? But it's not going to do anything unless it's plugged in. And even when the bulb does go out or when the chain needs to be pulled on and off, it requires someone else. You'll hear more about that next week in the second half of John 15. Connections matter. We are connected to Christ, to the Father through the Son, through the power of the Holy Spirit. In our first reading for tonight, Acts chapter 8, you'll hear a beloved story, a familiar story. The Ethiopian eunuch. Philip was a deacon in the church, but through the power of the Holy Spirit, he became an evangelist. And by chapter 21, we find out he has four daughters who are prophetesses and who aren't married. In other words, they're celibate for the sake of the kingdom. In chapter 8, it is the Spirit that sends Philip out into this wilderness so that he can do ministry. And here is an Ethiopian eunuch. And what do you know about this guy? Well, remember, you got to be careful about jumping to conclusions because eunuch has three definitions. One is a castrated male. The second one is somebody that is a male either born or along the way becomes unproductive. And the third one is it's just a category or a classification for someone who is celibate, which is what I think St. Luke is telling us in the book of Acts. That we have a man here from Ethiopia who has gone up to the temple and he could worship because he was celibate, but he's there and he's coming home and he's got to be rich and he's a God-fearer. He's reading the prophet Isaiah, a scroll on that large 66 chapters of Isaiah would have cost a fortune. And he's got a chariot that's big enough for guests. And so the Spirit sends Philip to meet the eunuch, the celibate man from Ethiopia, the God-fearer. He's a good man. He's reading the Word. But there's salvation in no other name than the name of Jesus. He needs to know Jesus. And so the Spirit opens the mouth of Philip, empowers him, and Philip says, as he's running alongside the chariot, do you understand what you're reading? Because he hears him reading from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 53. And the eunuch says, how can I unless someone guides me? I need instruction. He stops the chariot and invites Philip to come up in there. Isaiah 53, the lamb who doesn't open its mouth. Who is this lamb? And Philip begins with this text and preaches the good news about Jesus Christ. Did you hear the sermon? We don't get a single word of the sermon. But we know what it's about because we've read the Gospel of Luke and we've read the book of Acts. He preaches the whole gospel about Jesus Christ, the true vine. We know the content had to have been things like, well, repent and be baptized, and you'll receive the forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2, Peter's sermon on Pentecost. But this is what we know for sure. He got the gospel because he saw water in the wilderness. And when he saw the water, he said, oh my God, water! What is to prevent me from being baptized? And so Philip baptized him. In the name of Jesus, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, he was baptized. And if you ask an Ethiopian Christian to this day where they got the gospel, they'll tell you it began with Philip and the Ethiopian celibate man. Yeah. And then Philip, the Spirit lifts him up, kind of transports him, and he's in another place because there's more ministry to be done. You talk about balance. This guy's married. He has four daughters. So he knows how to be a husband. He knows how to be a father. He knows how to be a deacon in the church. He knows how to be an evangelist. But not because of his own power. It's just the grace of God. Grace. That's how I know that you have made the cut. That you belong. Not because of any work you've done, but because of the work of Jesus Christ, his death on the cross for the forgiveness of your sin. Today was the Kentucky Derby, evidently. Anybody watch that or hear about it? I mean, I'm assuming it ran. It's a big deal. It used to be bigger because people would have their hats, remember? And horse racing used to be a big deal in the United States. But that and something else is happening tonight has gone on the wayside. Boxing. Boxing used to be big. Anybody know that there is supposedly the fight of the century tonight? Cost you $100, $150 for pay-per-view TV. They're estimating an economic impact of like $400 million. $25,000 for a kind of a ringside seat, and for the really prime ones, $250,000. Who's got that kind of money? Pacquiao, Manny, and Mayweather, Floyd. Floyd is 38, Manny's 36. Read an article today. It said, it's all hype. These guys should have fought 10 years ago in their prime when it would have been interesting. So all kinds of money, all kinds of hype going on with this, right? Who cares? I'll tell you what I care about. I care about what isn't really being highlighted and mentioned in the story. Manny is from the Philippines. He grew up in the same town in the Philippines as Tim Tebow. Manny was raised Roman Catholic, straight from the church. He said, God brought me back home to serve his glory. I went to church on a Sunday, he said, and Monday through Saturday, I was a scoundrel. I was womanizing, I was committing adultery, I was drinking and getting drunk, I was gambling, I was using the Lord's name in a bad swearing way. And then in 2012, December, he had a big fight, got knocked out in the sixth round. His mother said, that's because you became a born-again Christian. You came back to Jesus through this evangelical stuff. You left the Catholic Church, and that's why you lost the boxing match. Today, he sold his nightclub. He doesn't drink anymore because he saw it ruining his life. Today, he reads his Bible every day and studies it. He said, my number one priority in life is to live my life for Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, and to bring him glory. That's the real story of this fight tonight, that the fight has already been fought on the cross for Manny. And you know what else he said after the fight tonight? He said, what I really want to do is I want to sit down with Floyd where we could read the Bible together, where we could pray together. Because you abide in me and I abide in you, Jesus says, because I'm the true vine, my Father is the vine dresser, and you are branches connected to me through no work on your part. By the grace of God, you bear fruit. A lot of fruit. Fruit that remains and continues. And by this, you prove to be my disciples. You see, it's all about Jesus and his grace for you. You made the cut because of Jesus. Amen.